Theorizing that one could review RPGs within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Cheesedude stepped into the System Master Accelerator and vanished. He woke to find himself trapped in the past, facing weird games that were not his own and driven by an unknown force to ridicule them for no reason. His only guide on this journey is Chester Balloonman, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a guy in a hot air balloon that only Sam can see and hear. And so, Dr. Cheesedude finds himself leaping from book to book, striving to discover what went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be off this infuriating show. Jeff, we got to start the podcast.
Oh, boy.
All right, fine. I guess I'll do it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Afterthought. I'm John, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jeff. Say hi, Jeff.
That's me, Jeff.
All right. Yeah. So, this week, we had talked about the top secret RPG, and got a lot of comments about people's reaction to that, mostly that they really enjoyed the old Top Secret game, even though they admitted it was garbage.
That's true. We had a lot of emails and letters, and I don't want to go through all of them, but the general consensus was people really enjoyed Top Secret through the lens of a 12-year-old, which, that's actually the way I enjoyed D&D, so I have no complaints with that. I think it's perfectly fair. Another common concern we got about Top Secret was that it's not fair to make fun of a game that's 35 years old. Is it's literally like the 7th role-playing game, and it is definitely the first role-playing game set in the modern age. You know, the heady modern age of 1980.
Yeah, you know.
Nowhere to go but up. So yeah, I can see that's fair. I mean, they didn't know apples was apples back then, I guess. Except that, I don't know if that's true. I mean, D&D works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the other games of that time, and they at least, even if they were as math-heavy or as charty as Top Secret, they at least went with their theme more.
Yeah.
So, like, Traveller is very famous for having just a crapload of charts and math and dumb crap you can do, but the whole thing was based around making planets and doing cool, like, spaceships and making your character his background and so on, whereas this, there's nothing about spies. All of your charts have nothing to do with being a spy.
That's true. And also, I really want to stress that all the letters and comments we got about Top Secret were very friendly. These weren't Stormbringer brand comments. A lot of agree to disagree was being bandied around. So that, we're fine with that. And you know what? I'm going to give Top Secret a bit more of a pass than I originally gave it in the first review, because you're right. It's an old game that didn't, from back in a time when they were still getting their feet wet in this industry. So even though it's completely nonsense and I never could possibly play it, I can appreciate that other people probably could.
Well, it's the same thing if you go back and you play any, like, old Atari or original NES game or anything like that, it is garbage most of the time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Almost all of those games are just repetitive, and the only thing that changes on repeated plays is maybe it speeds up a little.
Like, outside of the Final Fantasy games on the Nintendo, what would you say is your favorite Nintendo game, and does it hold up?
Back in the day, probably my favorite Nintendo game was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and yes, it really does.
God damn it really does. The problem with Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is that it's a puzzle game and not a boxing game in any way.
Oh no, it's not about how good of a boxer you are, it's all based on pattern recognition and timing,
yeah.
Which is what most of those old Nintendo games were. It's just, things like Contra were that, oh, you have to memorize exactly where all of the bullets are going to be and move to wherever.
Yeah, I used to be a Mega Man person, and I would play Mega Man obsessively as a kid, and now I go back and I try and play these games that when I was a kid I had mastered. I mean, I could beat Mega Man 2 without dying. It was a thing for me. I didn't even bother with that entering a 16-digit 4x4 grid of password because I was that good. Then I go back and play it now, and I'm like, what the hell was I doing? What happened to me? I can't be this old. But no, it's just because it's rote memorization, and that's all I had time to do when I was 7, was sit around and memorize laser patterns in Quick Man's room.
Oh yeah, it's the same thing with, I had the old Battletoads game for the Super Nintendo, and that, like, impossible speeder course, I memorized and beat it. There are two different versions of it, beat both of them.
Yeah.
Still didn't beat the game, though.
Yeah, that game's really hard. That game is famously very, very hard.
Yeah.
I remember playing, and I was obsessed with it, a game where you played as Godzilla. Or Mothra. It was your choice.
Oh,
and it was
sweet.
And it was on the Nintendo. You could play as Godzilla or Mothra, and it was not sweet. As a kid, I was obsessed with it, because you could play as two guys. I was like, you could play as Godzilla or a flying guy. Then I went through as an adult and tried it again and realized that literally there are 16 levels in the game, and they are the same level 16 times. I didn't notice when I was a kid.
No. And it's, I think even as a kid, there were some games that I realized were just not putting any effort in at all. Like, okay, one of the old ones that I remember renting from Blockbuster Video, which was,
That existed at the time.
Yeah.
I was using some local video store for my, my games. The kind of place with a beaded curtain.
Oh yeah, where it's like super duper video.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a beaded curtain and you know that there's stuff back there like Whore of the Roses.
So, I remember getting the game Bayou Billy.
Ooh!
Bayou Billy, I rented that game, and it was unplayable.
Yeah.
I could not get past the first level at all, and there was nothing in, like, the instructions or in the game itself that was like, here's how you play this game that's terrible. It was just, nah, you run around and everything will kill you immediately.
Yeah. There's this, Nintendo in particular didn't have as much of a quality assurance thing. There's a lot of Nintendo games. And also, it got reverse engineered, so people were able to make unlicensed Nintendo games fairly commonly, and those are just unplayable buggy messes that weren't usually sold in the US.
Huh.
So yeah, there's a lot of games for that system that are just like, what? This doesn't, hang on, what? No, okay, this button doesn't even do anything. So that's definitely a problem.
And that's to bring it back to RPGs, what happens a lot when you get any old RPG that you used to play when you were a kid. Because when you were a kid, it was magic. Like, it didn't matter what was going on, because what was happening was you were some awesome super spy, and, you know, your older brother or your dad or whoever, like, got you into the game.
Uncle Tunchy.
Yeah, old Uncle Tunchy in his puzzle basement.
Thanks, Patton.
Would go ahead and give you some character or something to play, and you would go, okay, great. And if you needed to figure out if you shot a guy, you just roll a die and look up and go, did I? And he would look over and go, yeah. And he'd do the math for you, and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So everything was awesome because you didn't have to care.
Or when you were 14, you were obsessed with realism in games, because that's the thing that happens for a brief period when you're a gamer. When you get obsessed with, like, oh, I don't even want to see my stats when I roll them, because I don't know what my actual dexterity is. I'm going to roll on the other side of a sheet.
I think that happens once you've played a bit.
Yeah.
Because you get to the point where you're like, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I've noticed something, you guys. Like, why do we have to have hit points? We don't have hit points. And then you're just, off to the races.
This is all bullshit.
Wait a minute. And then you never took it that one step farther and stopped playing these stupid games.
No, instead you tried to make them real. And then hopefully you hit that Renaissance period where you're like, wait a minute, it is all bullshit, and that's why it's fun.
Hold on. This is great.
Bullshit is amazing. I love this bullshit.
Yeah. So, so often you get that progression and then you take that split in the road where either you begin to realize that everything is dumb and should be fun, or you're like, no, verisimilitude is the hill that I will die upon.
Everyone who played games after I did is a dumb, rewards-wanting baby.
Yep.
Those are your two choices. Choose wisely. I think my favorite example of this out in the wild is when you find people that don't just use point buy spreads for the stats in their game, but don't want to have bad stats. So instead, they come up with incredibly convoluted, almost random systems.
Oh yeah, I remember when I first started playing, we had a 4d6 drop lowest, reroll anything 8 or below.
See, now I had a guy who, for Rifts games, which means you had to make this grid of 9 stats, all rolled on 3d6 and then with exploding 16s. And, here's how it worked. You rolled 3d6 with 4d6 lowest with exploding 16s and hires. And then you rolled that straight down 9 times, creating a 9x9 grid from which you could choose any horizontal or vertical or diagonal line.
Ah!
To get your, to get your stat array. So you had to roll 3d or 4d6 drop lowest 81 times, carefully writing them down each time.
Wow.
Because a point by array would be bullshit.
Obviously.
That's not random. What is random is rolling the dice 81 times and then selecting the 9 best.
Wow. That is... See, at that point, you have to admit that what you're actually going for is an above average.
Yes.
Like, if you want to say, I don't like the point by system because it makes everyone have samey stats, then what you really are saying is, I don't like the point by system because it means I can't have way better than I should. Because everyone remembers that one character.
Yeah, with two or three 18s.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh man, I had the best roll. It was amazing. And this guy was great. No one's like, oh yeah, I rolled up this one character and I didn't roll above a 9. I then ripped that sheet up and didn't play him.
I had a DM back when I was getting started who wouldn't let you do that. Who you had to play your character. So one of my characters was a rogue whose highest stat was a dexterity of 10, I think.
Sweet.
And so I went through the game with a dexterity 10 rogue, and it was just an adventure in how quickly can I die. He said I'd get in trouble if I tried to kill myself with the character, so instead I just constantly threw him into danger and was a big damn hero, except I was so bad that I couldn't. I couldn't get to the monsters fast enough to have them kill me. It was the saddest of times.
That's real sad, because your stats were so bad that your initiative was awful,
yeah.
So you couldn't go first.
Yeah. Oh, it was a terrible time. It was even better because there was another rogue in the party who was a good rogue with like a 17 dexterity. And I was like, I'm a terrible rogue. And he was like, yeah, don't worry about it, buddy. You just try and die. You just try and die with the best of them.
You do your best.
take your little brother out roguing with you. Aw, ma.
Maybe if you're both good, we'll go to McDonald's.
Ooh, McDonald's. What a happy meal.
Yeah, I'm gonna hamburgle it.
Have you seen that?
You're a rogue.
Have you seen that new Hamburglar?
Oh yeah, that guy is straight up sexy. I want me a piece of his burger.
My first thought when looking at him was men's rights. The first thought I had, I saw the Hamburglar, and I was like, now there's a Hamburglar that took the red pill.
Yes, 100%. I am on board with that.
He's like, I'm gonna liberate hamburgers from female oppression. Burgers are a man's world.
Yeah, that's right. Oh man, I wish I could remember what the actual girl chicken, what's her name? Damn it.
Oh, Birdie.
Yeah, Birdie. There
you
go.
It's just Birdie. It's the saddest one of them because most of the McDonald's characters that have not been phased out aren't things you just eat. Birdie's like a chicken, like an alive chicken. You're like, oh, I'm gonna eat Birdie later. I'm gonna fry her in. And cut her into unidentifiable chunks and then eat them.
Yeah, but you already had the McNugget. I know,
there's McNugget
gang.
Dudes, there's the Fry Guys, there's Mayor McCheese. All of those characters have been slowly, kind of removed from the lexicon, along with the Irish, uncle of Grimace. Uncle O'Grimacy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
Who, because Grimace is apparently supposed to represent shakes.
Yeah.
And so when they have the
Shamrock
Shake.
Yeah, they bring out Uncle O'Grimacy. And then they don't let him get a job.
Well, it's not that they don't let him. He's just too lazy.
No, they have a sign out front that says, Uncle O'Grimacy need not apply. Keep moving. This is not a Protestant town, it says at McDonald's.
Yes. Good job.
Okay. All right. What are we talking about?
I don't know. It was the Hamburglar.
The Hamburglar. Yeah. Men's rights Hamburglar. The new guy. I kind of miss the chipmunky Hamburglar from back in the day, but whatever. It's not like they couldn't change him if they wanted.
It's also super weird that he's one of only, like, two humans.
I know. It is weird. You have Ronald McDonald, who never takes off the clown makeup, and then you've got a regular guy in a mask is your new character.
Yeah, I think it'd be weird, because at that point, you're talking about a guy who's got a Captain N going on.
Yeah.
Where he just got sucked into the McDonald land, and he's the only human, and everyone else is some weird food item thing.
And his only goal is to steal hamburgers?
Well,
is that how he gets back home?
Yeah. No, I think there's probably some machine powered by burgers. And the thing is, he's speaking normal English, but all they hear is robble, robble. It's like that old barbarian thing where they're just like, that guy's just going bar, bar, bar. And he's speaking English, but they're like, why does he just keep saying robble, robble?
Does the new guy just say robble, robble? That'd be amazing. that kind of vaguely sexy in sort of an evil way with his 5 o'clock shadow. And
when they did the first commercials for, he was all whispering. He was like, Rovel, rovel.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, let me rovel in those panties,
wait,
girl.
Now that makes it sound like he's going to look down at the people and whisper rovel.
Yes, that's exactly it. People saw won't. McNugget with its head split open today. I have seen the McDonald Land's true face.
Herm. Hermble, hermble.
They'll look up and whisper, save us. And I'll look down and say, rubble, rubble.
Christ.
Yep, there you go. That's it.
The new Hamburglar is Rorschach. That's the joke, everybody.
There we go. Who fries the fry guys?
Well, it's usually Ronzi Mandius.
Oh, Ronzi Mandius. Oh, Mayor McHatton.
All right, someone draw us a picture of that and email it to us, please. Please send us the characters from McDonald's as the Watchmen, and we will send you a t-shirt when those are ready.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you get.
I'm not sure if that's actually true. I don't know if we'll actually have any of our own t-shirts.
Yeah, but, you know, we could.
We could. I could get one. Yeah, I guess. If you send us a picture good enough to make it into a t-shirt, then I will send you a t-shirt.
Of that picture.
Yeah, that's all you get. Instead of just selling it yourself and making a bunch of money.
If you send us that picture, we will send you a picture of a t-shirt. Not even ours, just a t-shirt.
Let's talk about that real quick, because those are about to happen.
Sweet.
So this Tuesday, or sorry, actually, the day that we are releasing this episode, so yeah. Tuesday, the 19th, we'll be putting out for sale on TeePublic the first System Mastery t-shirts.
Which is weird. I feel like I should sue, because TeePublic was my rap name.
Oh, it wasn't. It was Defunct Money.
No, that was my funk name.
Oh, I'm sorry. TeePublic was your... Mine was DJ Jazzy Jeff.
That's weird.
No, it turned out that there was already a guy. I tried to change it to Lil DJ Jazzy Jeff, but they were like, no.
No, that doesn't work. Yeah, hold on.
That does not apply, sir.
You are quite large.
You have to be big DJ Jazzy Jeff.
You'd have to be ironically Lil DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Ironically Lil. It's in parentheses at the start of the name.
That reminds me, I always wanted to have a mashup between two bands so you could have, like, Fountains of Lil Wayne.
That is a really good idea for a band.
Great.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, all right. Okay, so
anyway,
we'll start with two shirts available for sale on TeePublic. The reason I'm saying this at all is because for the first 72 hours after I put them up for sale on TeePublic, they'll be on sale. So if you buy them during that time period, you can get them for $14. After that, I think they go to $20. We actually make money off this, so hooray for us.
Yay.
Not as much as you'd think, though. So this is mostly just for fun.
Yeah, we get way less than I thought we were going to get, so that's neat.
We made, well, for that first 5 days or 72 hours or whatever, when they're $14, we'll make $2 a t-shirt.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy two sodas.
I'm going to get me a McDouble.
And then as soon as the...
Ravel, ravel.
Here comes the red pill Hamburglar to take your McDouble.
Damn it.
Maybe a woman bought that shirt. You can't have that money. That's dirty money. Okay, and then after that, when they go to $20 each, we'll actually make $4. I'm going to give you a $4 hooker.
Yeah, finally.
So, by all means, if you feel like supporting the show, or if you just think that the dumb shit we say is funny, then you can buy those shirts. The first two are just going to be our logo and the Cheese Dudes logo.
Yeah.
So, a little piece of Cheese Dudes history for you.
Yeah, they're sponsoring our show by letting us sell some t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. And they get a little piece of the proceeds as well, which... Honestly, I'm not a big fan of that. They get like a dollar out of every two.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's rough. That Tommy Porcadillo is...
He's a shrewd businessman, though.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, he keeps snapping his suspenders.
Yeah, but, you know, he has that whole, oh, I'm just a down-home country, but no.
No, he's a down-home country guy with a bunch of big city lawyers.
Yeah, for real, though. Yeah,
it's pretty rough. So, those two shirts will be going on sale today. And for the next 5 days, they'll be on sale, so go buy them. And if you want other shirts... Let me tell you the secret, the actual truth about System Mastery. We're just two guys, and neither of us can draw.
Yeah, it's true. We are talentless hacks.
Yeah, it's terrible. I can do Photoshop real good. I spent many years working Photoshop, but it turns out that all that does is let me, like, recolor things and create fancy logos, and that's about all I can do.
If you want me to take someone else's art and fuck with it,
So, oh, yeah. In fact, if you want us to take someone else's art and make it into a t-shirt, send us your art. We'd love some fan art of dumb system mastery shit. Send us the vendor in Nalabarong, or the fat knife clown, or the gay tree demon.
Yay.
One of those. Or even a, I'm still trying to figure out how to put City of Violence on a shirt.
Well, I'm pretty sure you just have system mastery.
Podcast of Violence. Or, I don't know. City of Violence. So we're going to try and figure that out. If you have shirts you'd like us to make, then send it to us and we'll try and figure it out. We'll work on it. But there's no one here who can draw the crow and Max Headroom opening a restaurant. There's no one here with that power. Not even the cheese dude. The titular cheese dude himself was drawn by my awesome girlfriend.
Yeah.
So special thanks to her for drawing us a cheese dude.
Yay.
Yeah. All right. Moving along. You want to start doing some questions? We got a crap load of questions this week.
We got so many questions. It's great.
I think we may actually have to start moving to answering like one per person per week, and then we'll come back and do those questions from people again later.
Yeah, we can always just hold on to things.
Yeah. So
just hold them close.
So thank you so much for sending us all these questions. There are a crap load. We're really happy to do them. This is our favorite part of doing Afterthought right here.
It's true.
Yeah.
Much as I love talking about dumb bullshit, I do love actually answering questions.
I mean, how long have we talked about the top secret game today?
I don't know, maybe like 2 minutes?
Like two of the 20 minutes we've done so far?
Yeah.
Has been about top. We spent more time on that Quantum Leap nonsense.
It's true. I spent more time on the intro to this than the actual subject.
Is there a Quantum Leap role-playing game?
There should be.
We talked about this. There isn't. And we want to build one. And we're going to build it by combining it with Torg and then building it in Fate. So we're going to make a Fate add-on to make Sliders, or no, it's almost Sliders, the Quantum Leap / Torg role-playing game.
Yeah.
We'll just call it all three.
Yeah.
If there's any other time travel RPG that we can slide in there. Oh, yeah. We'll throw in a little, what's that show? Fargate. Stargate.
Yeah, Little Starfar. Fartgate.
Fartgate.
If you will.
Fartgate. That's terrible. What is that? Like, did Obama fart?
Yeah, that's what happened.
That gate affix is the worst.
Oh, yeah, no, that's, anytime something's like, it's a scandal, it's whatever gate, I'm like, stop it, just don't.
Do you think we're about to hit a point where they'll refer to the original Nixon thing as Watergate Gate?
I really hope so. I want a new scandal to happen at Watergate so that it can be that.
Or just like, you know, a scandal that occurs as a result of gates. Like, the military bought several billion-dollar gates.
In what's being referred to as Gate-Gate.
That would be fantastic. Bill Gates bought several gates illegally from the U.S. military in what's being called Gate-Gate-Gate.
Gates-Gate-Gate.
Also, a gator was involved. Gates-Gator-Gate-Gate.
Yes.
Also,
you know, what could be greater...
And golf with a gator. Oh my god, those old games.
Those games are the best thing that ever happened.
Elephant the elephant.
Yeah, Mr. Bucket, the balls pop out of his mouth.
Did we come up with one of those the other day?
Maybe?
I think we did. I think we invented one. It was like you threw eggs at a dancing chicken.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was the cock and blockin'.
The pop and lockin' cock and blockin'.
Yeah, pop and lockin' cock and blockin', and you have to try and throw eggs at a chicken.
A dancing rooster trying to get to the hen house.
Yeah, and so you hit the rooster with it, and you're trying to cock and block.
Yeah, you're trying to cock and lock the pop and blockin' rooster. Coming soon from Whammo. All right. If anyone's still listening, now we'll do some questions. Okay. So we have a new question from Nathaniel. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm going to call you Nate T.
Natty T.
Natty T, we're calling you. And this is going to be, you guys do a lot of skits in your reviews. Do either of you have theater training?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, you do. You have a little bit of theater training. I was in one high school play.
Good job.
I spent the whole time making out with a stagehand instead of doing my job, which was to have a French accent and describe soup extravagantly.
That's good.
That was the end of that. It was a play for children.
Yeah, I was in a bunch of plays.
Were you in The Crucible ever?
No.
Oh.
I was in The Odd Couple. I was in a bunch of random crap.
Were you in the male version of The Odd Couple?
Yes.
Were you one of The Odd Couple?
Yes, I was.
Oh, very nice.
Which is amazing because The Odd Couple is basically like... 70 pages long, and 65 pages of that is the two of them.
Yeah, I know. Our school kept pushing to do The Odd Couple, and we kept voting it down, because it was like, whichever gender of The Odd Couple you do, the other gender gets fucked. There's two roles, and they're one scene.
Yeah, you have the Odd Couple, their three friends, and then the two other gendered...
Yeah, the sisters.
The sisters, yeah. Or brothers, whatever.
Whatever they are. And it's just a terrible thing to do for high school play, because it's like half the season, and then you're like, oh, well, two guys got to do this play, yay.
Oh, yeah, and it was me and my best friend at the time, and that son of a bitch would not learn his lines. And I was like, you stupid hooker. I hate you so much. Yeah.
Only other thing I did in high school was I did a bit of, I don't even remember which Shakespeare play it was. The problem is I remember I was playing Falstaff, which means it could be fucking anything. I have no idea what I was doing. And I remember that I was acting across a friend of mine who was wearing a JanSport backpack to simulate being fat. So he had it on in front of him with a robe on over it, except that the JanSport logo was prominently displayed on the robe, which means that for like 3 years I forgot this guy's name and I only thought of him as JanSport.
Oh, that's amazing.
So there you go. Yes, we both had a little tiny bit of theater, mostly in high school, and I think you almost minored in it in college.
I did. I did a bunch of theater stuff in college, and then I realized that theater students in college are the worst.
Oh, yeah. All of my natural funny and stupid is because I spent a lot of time being a tour guide. I was a tour guide at SeaWorld, and then again for a company called Old Town Trolley Tours. And I actually did some celebrity tour guide shit. I actually took Metallica on a tour once, or... Just Hetfield.
Yeah.
And then also Sarah Michelle Gellar. I led her through the park once.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that neat? Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, she's real nice. And the neat thing was that she didn't have to pay to be there. Instead, she took pictures with the belugas. And then she sent us a gift basket.
Nice.
A class act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there you go. You're not going to get any celebrity dirt from me because they're all really cool. One newscaster I took on a thing did argue with me about how whales aren't fish.
Yeah, I did a bunch of stand-up comedy for years.
Oh, that's right.
And I've got plenty of celebrity dirt that I could talk about.
Yeah.
Going to strip clubs in the VIP area with a bunch of different comedians. That is the best.
Now, how much time did you spend hanging out with Gottfried?
A lot, actually. I spent a lot of time with Gilbert Gottfried, and that guy is the most awkward.
That doesn't surprise me. Is it interesting when he switches his voice off? Because I've heard, voicemails from him where it's like, He doesn't talk like this all the time. He like switches down. He's like, hey, it's Gilbert. Hi. I'm ready to do the performance.
Oh, it's so weird. When he like gets off stage and you're just talking to him in the green room and he's like, hey, how's it going?
You're like, holy shit, who are you?
It's the same thing happened the first time I met Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, hey man, how's it going? Did you want a drink? And I'm like, wait a minute.
Bobcat in particular has forgotten how to do his own famous voice. Gottfried, it's still his bread and butter, but Goldthwait's a comedian, or no, sorry, a director now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to do that shitty voice anymore.
No, if you want to be like, whatever.
I've seen people do it. I've seen video of people going up and doing the Goldthwait voice, and he's like, oh, you do better than me. Anyway, there you go. He also has is there a funny story behind how either of you got into gaming?
It was actually through drama. So I met my good friend Jake and my first DM ever through a high school play. So he was doing one of the bits there. We had shared a class, so we knew each other. We both went out for some dumb comedy play, and
the air was magical.
Yeah, he had a sparkle about him, and yeah. There was just something gleaming in his eyes, and he came up to me, and he whispered close in my ear, Robble, Robble.
God damn it. I knew that was coming.
No, he, even better than that, he asked if I wanted to play Rifts.
Yeah, which is funny, because...
All downhill from there.
Because my first game was also Rifts, and in my case, it was that I was going over to a friend's house because he had a Sega Genesis.
Oh, no, that's how they get you.
I know. I wanted to go play his... He didn't just have a Sega Genesis. He had a Sega CD.
Woo!
So I wanted to play Silphied, which was a great shooter game on his Sega CD. And then when I was there, they were like, hey, you want to also play some Rifts?
Hey, man, do you want to smoke this doob? And you're like,
this
no.
Doob of being a cyber knight?
Oh, man. That's the gateway. First, you're a cyber knight. Before you know it, you're a Cosmo knight.
Oh, that's the worst.
You've lost all your friends. You're gaming by yourself in your room.
All right. Okay. Next question. This one's from Darth Conan's, and it's for Afterthought. If you were designing a good benefits and drawbacks system, how would you do it? I can do this because I'm the one who hates good benefits and drawbacks systems.
It's true. You do.
The problem is I don't really hate benefits and drawback systems. I hate that they are so easily written to be abused. And we've got one coming up pretty soon where we're going to be making fun of how abusable it is to no end. But for the most part, you find that the problem with this is that there's always some drawback that's like, you have to tell jokes all the time, or some guy doesn't like you, and eventually you'll get a story about how he doesn't like you. It's like, well, those aren't drawbacks. Those are great. So really, the best drawback systems we've seen are ones where it's clear mechanical benefits and their opposite penalties. Like, if you're weak, you have a minus one to strength. If you're strong, you have a plus one to strength. You can't have both. Done. That's a great benefits and drawback system.
Yeah, that was the system that they had in the Vanishing Point game.
Yes.
And I think that's the one that worked the best, is all of your drawbacks were just opposite side benefits, and you never had anything that was a standalone that you could just game the system for.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's the ones that are the worst are the ones that don't give you an actual benefit or drawback mechanically. So like he had said, the ones where you have to have, like, you tell jokes all the time, or you're cowardly, or you're whatever. If it then doesn't also say, this does X mechanical thing, then all you're doing is saying, I got extra points because I have a character.
Right. And I think there are other games that do it well. I just finished reading Fate. And I thought Fate doesn't really have a benefits and drawback system, but it has aspects, which might as well be benefits and drawbacks.
Oh, yeah, it's your benefits and drawbacks, but it doesn't reflect points.
They're more like your stats than anything else.
Yeah.
So I thought those were great. I'm looking forward to playing Fate real soon, actually. I think we're probably going to create some superhero characters, but just for fun. But yeah, Fate is awesome, and I think that's a great way to do it. If they aren't just abusable penalties that you can use to get extra benefits, then you've got a good system going.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm not that hard-assed about it. I mean, you know, I'm comically hard-assed because it's a show. Okay. Next one. This one's from Will Reeves, and he says, your producers who've signed The Rock and Tim Curry for a film. Tell us about their characters and the plot. All right, so I've got this. This is easy.
All right.
Okay.
Pitch it to me. Give me the elevator pitch.
Tim Curry's an international super terrorist.
Obviously. Of course. Okay, but what is he in the movie?
A charming and probably gay L.A. actor who still works a lot in voice acting. This is getting too meta for me.
Wait.
Okay, so in the movie, he's an international super terrorist, the kind who dances around at like choirs at churches and stuff. Now, he wants to kill FBI super cop Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so he tracks him to a carnival. And at the carnival, he sets up a sniper rifle and shoots at him, and the bullet goes right through Dwayne The Rock Johnson and kills his son. Now, they have to trade faces.
What?
Yeah. No, get it. They have to trade faces so that The Rock can fool Tim Curry's brother into thinking that he's Tim Curry. So he gets a surgery where he gets Tim Curry's face. Meanwhile, Tim Curry gets word of this and steals The Rock's real face and puts it on and goes to his house and sleeps with his wife. And she can't tell because they must have gotten the dick off, too.
Yeah, and I mean, when you look at it, physically, they're about the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, pretty much. I want to watch Dwayne Johnson act like Tim Curry and Tim Curry act like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And I want there to be a lot of boat fights and airplane fights and all kinds of stuff. That's what. Do you have a different pitch? Because that's mine.
Okay. So here's my pitch. All right. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson goes back to his hometown after years of not having been there. And he just wants to find the love of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Tim Curry. Okay, that's it.
That's your pitch. Wait, does he enter Tim Curry? Is it a comma?
Yeah, no. The movie is called Enter Tim Curry.
All right. There we go. Next one. This is a big list of questions from a fan of the show, Dylan Green. Nice guy. Calls himself Dylan Green, asker of the questions. He wrote us a letter, too, here, so I'll start this off. So I just got done buying a house, and during the repairs and remodeling, you guys have been my constant companions.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We didn't really help much with the remodeling, but I'm glad we could be around.
Yeah, I've listened to almost every episode at this point, and I'm doing better than us. I had a question about a common theme exemplified at best in episode 34, which I think we all know is Fantasy Imperium. I mean, duh. At about 39:20, you guys talk about the magic system and criticize it because it is too broad and squishy.
Yep.
Fair enough. Most broads are too squishy. The example you give is sheet of ice. Spreads a thick sheet of ice along the ground, making travel hazardous. The sheet of ice may be used to bridge chasms, etc. You then talk about how it provides no rules for hazardous. At the same time, I know you guys have played and appear to be fans of games like Apocalypse World and its ilk. These are my favorite types of games, and I think that huge amount of the value comes from how we don't need a description of what hazardous means. We are familiar with walking on ice. How do you balance these two seemingly opposing viewpoints? How much squishiness do you like? You obviously have a certain love crunch, We do, yeah. But damn, I wonder why sometimes. It seems to have brought you nothing but grief. All right, this is easy, but you want to take it?
Yeah. All right, so the big difference is there are games like Apocalypse World and its ilk that are based on not having a lot of crunchy nonsense to them. And so if you had a power in one of those systems that said, you create a sheet of ice and it is hazardous, if you are on, like, the sheet of ice, you get the hazardous tag or whatever.
Yeah, it has a bunch of rules for what ice does.
Yeah, but it would be something where you could just describe what it does, and the describing whatever it does is part of the system.
Yeah.
Whereas in a game like Fantasy Imperium, where it gives you 1 million different weapons and armor and all of the rules for weapons and armor.
Do you know how long it takes to cast the spell that puts an ice sheet on the ground in Fantasy Imperium? You have to build it out of a whole bunch of individual stupid parts. There's like 8 steps to this ritual that you cast in advance, and then the spell doesn't fucking do anything. It's weird that the game has, it seems like it just forgot to include a bunch of rules.
Yeah, the magic system felt very tacked on in that, and if you're going to have a crunchy game where there's percentage-based chances for what you pray for to happen, then don't just hand-wave your magic system.
Yeah, to us, it feels like the game was trying to do two things at once, and it wasn't doing either very well.
I mean, honestly, it would be the same thing of if I was playing in some fate-based system, and then they also had a bunch of really specific rules of what magic did, and I was like, and then this does, like, 10 HP damage, and you're like, I don't even have HP in this game. They're like, well, fuck you, this does.
Exactly. Like, if you were playing a Fate game and all of a sudden it had the stats for various types of pistols. And it was like, I just have a pistol. I just do attack damage. I do the amount of damage that my aspect does when I put a thing on someone. It's fine. I've got this figured out. Oh, no. That's not a Glock. That's a Desert Eagle. You have to a whole different set of rules for what that type of gun does.
Yeah.
Are you counting bullets? It's weird because it's incongruous. That's really the problem that we run into.
Yeah, so that's the biggest issue I have is if you're going to have a crunchy game, then make things crunchy and make them make sense within your game. Because it's not just make sure everything's crunchy. It's also make sure what you are writing actually goes well. It's the problem that I really had with the third edition magic system. Everyone talks about how, well, it's because wizards can do everything, but a lot of that stemmed from descriptions of spells were purposefully vague in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Unless you were casting a damage spell, it was like, the wizard gets to do meh. And you're like, okay, that's not a mechanical thing. You've just told me I can do something.
Yeah, and it's harder to argue with. That's a big problem, because a fighter in a third edition game is defined by rolling d20s, where a wizard is defined by what he can convince the DM he can do. That's the default. I mean, granted, and I know I'm about to get a bunch of emails and so on that say that that's not how my game worked. Granted, every game is as good as the people playing and running that game.
Yep.
Every game. That's a default assumption in making fun of role-playing games for a hobby. is that anyone can have a good time playing fucking Terror is Never Far Behind or whatever, but it's not as much fun as you would have had playing a better game.
Yep.
That's basically the default assumption. So, Dylan, we know you asked a lot of questions here, and we appreciate that, and we're going to get to the rest of them pretty much one at a time. So, thanks for that. I do actually want to get one more coming from you, so we're going to do another one out of Dylan here, just because I saw it, and I think it's one of my favorites. Okay. Would you rather be forced to drink IPA beer for the rest of your life and be unable to drink wine coolers, or live in a universe where wine coolers never existed and could not exist, except for one lone six-pack of blue flavor, presumably, which was in your possession, and which you had to ration out for the rest of your life?
Well, that's easy. I mean, I'd definitely go into the where wine coolers do not and could not exist.
Yeah, except for one lone six-pack. Okay, right off the bat, that's weird. Wine coolers come in 4-packs.
I know. If it was a 6-pack of wine coolers, I'd be like, well, this is crazy. Although, would I? Because it's a universe where they never existed.
Yeah, so
I
would six just packs assume would seem normal. Would,
yeah.
You'd be like, who are these Bartles and James? From whence did they come?
Who could know them? But it's also a universe where they cannot exist.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, I've tried to reverse engineer. I have all of the components, and yet they will not combine.
Yeah, you keep putting them together, and you just get floating chunks in a bottle of water.
I keep doing it, but all I get is Windex.
Well, you know, blue Bartles and James. Here's the thing. I'm going to pick the Bartles and James, too, because I hate IPA, and that's fine. That's easy. But wine coolers aren't your only option in dumb, sweet alcohol for babies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we still got all of the various pucker liqueurs.
Yeah, we got your Boone Strawberry Hill flavored wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be fine.
Everything is going to be A-okay for me in this world.
Yeah.
Plus, I'll have that six-pack of Bartles and James.
Oh, you'll be like the God King. You'll be like, step up, who among you shall taste of the nectar of the gods?
Oh, yeah, I'd just walk into some high school and be like, who would like one of these? Become my minion in my army!
And they're like, boo, I boo the wine cooler. And you're like, hush, hush ye to a man! So there you go. So thanks, Dylan, and we'll get to the rest of your great questions in a future afterthought. We're coming up now to Alex Hollis, who asks, how do you feel about point buy versus random rolling in systems that allow for both? Does point buy lead to cookie cutter builds? And does random rolling limit RP to playing the same guy in a different skin? That's funny. I think we already answered this.
We did talk about that. That is great. The answer is, please see earlier in the podcast where I said, rolling random is only good if you either want something better than you can get with point buy, because that's where basically everyone goes with it. Or if you do the true random, like, straight 3d6, take it, whatever it happens to roll. And in that case, you're mostly just trying to play for RP benefits.
See, I don't have any problem with 46 drop lowest, because, I mean, all you're saying is, I'd like to play a game where the average stat is like a 13. And that doesn't bother me. That's fine. So, I think there's really not that much of a difference. In a game that allows for both, I usually try to prefer the point buy. And games that allow for both are almost always D&D variants or stuff from that kind of dungeon crawl genre.
Well, yeah, usually when you look at a point buy system, you're also looking at it as you have whatever you point buy up to, whether it's through 18 or you're going up through 25 or whatever your scale happens to be. Usually what that ends up happening is we looked at third edition, saw, oh, you get a plus one for every whatever, and that's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
So with a point buy, you're essentially looking at, what do I want my biggest bonuses to be?
Yeah.
With a random roll,
it's going to tell you what to play.
Yeah, it'll only give you an RP opportunity, is all random roll does.
And you have the same RP opportunity playing a point buy character.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to play whatever, you can do it with point buy. The only thing random roll does is tell you what you're playing.
Yeah, and it also has kind of a visceral sense of fun to it. So it's like playing the lottery. It's like playing a slot machine. It's fun. It's fun to do that. I don't like doing it for long-form campaigns, because then you're locked down to some, you know, bad luck that you had very early in a campaign. So I prefer point buy when it's available, but I've got no specific beef with random roll.
No, I mean, I will give you, randomly rolling for something, it feels good.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like, rolling dice is fun. It's why we're playing a game with dice anyways, because I want to roll some dice and see what happens. I'm addicted to gambling. My name is John, and it has been 1 year since I have been to Vegas.
That's true. You actually do like to gamble, don't you?
I love gambling. I love random nonsense. It's why I love random charts and things.
I don't really care for gambling. I view it as an excuse to get more alcohol to me.
Yeah, so you sit at a table.
I have a different problem.
And put in your lowest amount possible.
Find that $5 pie gal table at Binion's. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I found a $3.50 blackjack table at Circus Circus, and I was like, oh.
I don't even know if that's slower than Pai Gow. Pai Gow is the slowest goddamn game in the world. Pai Gow is like a game of voluntarily slowly losing your money. Do you have $20? You can play Pai Gow for 4 hours. That's what that shit's all about. Okay, second question from Alex Hollis, and this is a great one to follow up our little discussion about Vegas gambling. Would you consider a home a good investment? What else would you recommend for a well-diversified portfolio? Aggressive or slow growth? Well, all I can tell you is always double on tens. Right? And then, let's see. Keep on 17s or higher. That's about it. I mean, we're from San Diego, Alex. No one here buys homes.
Yeah. A home is not a good investment because
it'll fall into the ocean eventually.
Yeah.
The Y2K bug. I don't know. Something.
Something's gonna happen.
Communists. We'll
a massive earthquake that'll send a tsunami of communists into our city.
So buy stocks on margin and vote Reform Party and
get,
We're both super poor. Let's get that out of the way. We're poor and we live in Southern California. Neither of us will ever buy a home.
Yeah, no. If I can continue to pay rent, then, you know, congratulations to me.
There you go. All right. Okay, thanks. Next question from Elliot. How much do you love Drizzt and especially Elminster on a scale from a lot to so much it consumes my life? Seriously, though, do you think characters like those two add anything to the settings they are part of, particularly Elminster and the Forgotten Realms? I love your show, even though you convinced me to purchase more than one Palladium book from my local game store.
I'm so sorry, Elliot. We have started you down in a path of addiction that there is no recovery from.
No, eventually, I mean, really, what's going to happen? The only way that you'll ever break the habit of buying Palladium books is if there's a clause in them that we haven't found yet in the foreword somewhere that when Symbieta dies, all of his books have to be thrown into his tomb with him.
Oh, I'm pretty sure we have to build the pyramid out of his books.
Yeah, we have to build that kind of ziggurat from the front of Rifts Mexico and bury him in it with a pile of his extra books.
Yep.
You're not allowed to keep them. They actually, you know, they all belong to him. That's a rule.
Yeah.
All Palladium books, you're just renting them from Symbieta eventually, ultimately. Okay, so your actual question. I don't really care about Dristan Elminster because I hate the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, I've never played a game in the Forgotten Realms, so I don't really care about the setting. And as far as Drizzt goes, I've never read any of his books.
They're good. Salvatore's books are good.
Yeah.
They're hacky fiction, but they're fun.
Yeah, and the Elminster is just awful. Every time I read anything with him in any of the books, I'm just like, why? Why are you the worst Mary Sue?
I know, it's really weird. Drizzt, thankfully, is not. He's kind of a, he starts out as kind of a tortured baby, and then he gets a lot better. Those are books are okay.
The only problem with Drizzt is he started the template for everyone else's.
Oh, yes.
I want to be the one special snowflake that isn't like the rest of my race.
Yeah. Oh, I'm playing a Githyanki, you guys. I'm the only one who's different.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. But, you know, that was going to happen at some point anyway. Actually, one of my favorite complaints I see people levy against 4th edition D&D is that there are too many stupid races. It's like, how do you run a party that's got, like, a walking crystal and a plant man and a minotaur and a shapeshifter in it? But, which, you know, who cares? Treat them all like humans and move along. That's what D&D does anyway. Okay, so Drizzt and Elminster don't bother us that much. DM or fiction PCs that exist in campaigns, I think we've probably covered that by getting ourselves roasted over an open fire for being mean to Elric.
Which, whatever.
That's just because Elric sucked. I don't really mind fiction PCs.
No, I kind of do. Anytime you have, like, in a Forgotten Realms or whatever, if Drizzt or Elminster are going to show up...
Oh, yeah, they shouldn't show up. I don't mind them existing.
No, that's my problem, is if they exist, it's the same thing like giving a god stats in your game.
Oh, yeah.
If you give it stats, it's going to show up.
Yeah, that's
You're going to try and kill it. If you give Elminster and Drizzt stats and tell the game, like, oh, yeah, they're found here, then at some point, some PC who's like, I love Elminster. Oh, go say hi to him. Hi, Elminster. And he's going to go run over there and say hi to Elminster. And then you have to play Elminster, which is the worst.
Well, yeah, except that every story with Elminster in an RPG, because I've read a bunch of Forgotten Realms adventures, all he does is go, hello, heroes, have adventures, and then pops out of existence. He's like Santa.
No,
I mean, granted, I'm going to give you this, because Forgotten Realms is really bad about power for NPCs.
Yes.
That's a big difference. One of the reasons I like Eberron so much compared to Forgotten Realms, and oh my god, I can hear people fomenting over that, is that every NPC in Eberron, like, tops out at, like, level 10. Like, the kings of all the cities and all the big wizards and stuff are, like, level 10. They're, like, little babies, so you can interact with them.
Yeah, there's the problem with... A lot of games have that idea that, oh, our scale goes up to 20, which means that this powerful guy has to be a 20.
Or a 25 or something. Like the symbol of Aglarond, who's one of the big powerful characters of Forgotten Realms, is like level 35 or some shit.
Yeah, and the problem with that is, I mean, when you talk to a lot of players, anyone who's had any sort of games, a lot of them don't even get past level 10. And
yeah.
So you're talking about either you have this entire swath of NPCs and named people that are completely outside of your realm of what you can interact with, or you do interact with them and they're just...
And they're still better than you because they were cheaty DM PCs written by the authors.
Well, yeah, it was just if they show up, they end up being the center of attention rather than your guys.
So I don't mind them existing in the fiction. I don't much care for putting them into the games I'm playing. If that's pretty much all I would say.
I don't have a problem with, like, Dragonlance novels, but I don't want any of, like, I don't want Raceland to show up in my game.
Oh, God, no. The only one I really want to show up in my game is, I think his name's Dragonbait. I'm okay with Dragonbait showing up in my games, because he's a Sauriel, and Sauriels rule.
That's good. I'm glad that you like dinos.
I do. I love dinosaurs. I like dinosaurs and robots and airplanes, and I'm 10.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Okay. All right, next question from some guy.
Hey, some guy.
He asked us, who would win in a fight between Tony, the Taskmaster Masters? Oh, I never knew he had a name. Huh. I thought his whole deal was that he'd, like, forgotten his own name.
Ah.
Anyway, Tony Taskmaster and Slade Deathstroke the Terminator Wilson. I'm going to give this one to Deathstroke, John.
Well, the thing is, I feel like Taskmaster could beat him. I mean, on the one hand, Taskmaster can watch Deathstroke for a while and take some of his moves. And there is some precedence in the Deadpool comics where he watched, like, some Jet Li stuff in Fast Forward so that he could do super fast moves.
I know.
Things like that.
I got no problem. The reason I go to Deathstroke on this one is because Deathstroke has been protagonized a lot. He's mostly good guy at this point. And I know that's starting to happen with Taskmaster as well, but Deathstroke is one of those guys who always wins because he's like Batman style, I prepped for this.
Well, his whole deal is at least at some point in the comics, he had that dumb, like, I use 90% of my brain, durfa-durfa-doo.
Now I kind of want Taskmaster to win.
Right?
Ugh.
So, but it's also one of those things where it's like, oh, I knew the Flash was coming, so I just positioned my sword in a way that he would stab himself.
Exactly. So I feel like he'd win on Taskmaster by, like, mining the room in advance or something. He's one of those Deus Ex Machina characters. So I don't want him to win, but I feel like he would. I like Taskmaster more.
Yeah.
Except on Teen Titans. That was a great... That Slade Wilson was creepy.
Yeah, when Taskmaster showed up on Teen Titans, that was great.
I'm gonna give it to whichever one is voiced by Ron Perlman more often.
Ah.
So Hellboy and then Deathstroke.
Yeah, there you go.
And then the Beast.
Ah,
yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
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 All right then.
Yeah, we remember that time in Beauty and the Beast where Belle was all like, oh, I need to leave, and he was like, oh my stars and garters.
Yes, that the Beast.
Yes, that one.
Hey, what's his name? Hank Hill? Yeah.
Hank Hill?
Yeah.
You know how the Beast is always selling propane and propane accessories?
My stars and garters, the boy ain't right. It's Hank something or other.
Yeah.
McCoy.
There you go.
Ah,
you
we got there. I got Yay. There. Before you, even.
No, I got it. I was just waiting for you.
Uh-huh. Okay, next question from Jeff at Infocorn. What's your go-to specialty thing you cook for a date / your parents / etc.?
Well, when I'm cooking for etc., I like to make rice.
Okay. I have to think about this one because I'm actually a pretty good cook.
I'm really not.
Yeah, you're more of a theater guy. You're more willowy and soft, where I'm a hard-ass cook. I think that's a pretty safe description between the two of us. Like, you can't cook. And I'm funny and awesome. And that's how you can tell us apart. All right, so I like to make a pork loin. I'm really good at cooking up a tasty pork tenderloin with lots of garlic and rosemary and stuff.
That's delicious.
He's had it. We've been on a couple of dates.
I'm just hoping, fingers crossed, guys.
Every time he comes over and smells that pork loin, he's like, oh, it's tonight.
Oh, it's going to be tonight. It's going to be magic.
So I like to make a good garlic pork tenderloin. I'm also pretty solid on a grill, and I make a tasty gumbo. So those are probably my go-tos.
Sweet. I can make pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
I can make a variety of pancakes, actually. I am great at the pancakery.
Now, can you call for pizza?
I cannot.
Terrible at calling for pizza.
I'm awful at calling for pizza. I get really nervous, and then they answer the phone, and I'm just like, I wanted a pizza for...
I hung up. It was a girl.
No, but I actually do hate calling for pizza, but I can. There's the internet.
You can use the internet for pizza. Okay, so there you go. Next question from... I love... Okay, the first time we answered questions, we got one from a guy named Nick E., and so we named him Nicky Cheeses, and he has adopted that nickname as his own. So this question comes to us from Nicky Cheeses, so I think we're going to have to change his nickname now. We're going to call you Mickey Jesus.
Yeah, Mick E. Jesus.
Yeah, Mickey Cheeses. Wait, no, Mickey Jesus.
Jesus.
The Disney mouse.
Yeah, the Disney savior.
Who died and then had his head frozen and buried for 3 days under Disneyland for your sins.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, he asks us, any plans to attend Gen Con this year? No.
No.
No, sorry. I mean, we'd love to. We love all you guys and we want to come out and meet everybody and have drinks and so on, but just the airfare would be like $800. And John, do you have $800?
I do not.
Can you envision a situation where you would have $800?
I mean, maybe if I had a rich relative that died?
Yeah, something like that. So, It's far away for us. We're in San Diego, so come to Kingdom Con next year, and we'll try and be there. It just happened.
Yeah.
But next year, we'll try to do a Kingdom Con thing.
Come to Comic Con. I mean, don't go to the actual convention. We'll just hang out somewhere.
Yeah, the convention is a nightmare, and it has nothing to do with role-playing games anymore. So skip the Comic Con, even though I know that's the big San Diego tradition. Just come here during it. There's all kinds of stuff happening outside of it.
Oh, yeah. If you go downtown during Comic Con, it is wall-to-wall stuff.
Oh, it's awesome. We saw that Cyanide and, what's it called, Cyanide and Happiness or whatever those guys are. We saw their cartoon show last year outside Comic-Con. That was good.
No, I went to more panels outside Comic-Con than I did some years at Comic-Con.
Absolutely. But also, we do have an RPG convention in town. It's called Kingdom Con.
Yep.
It's mostly 40K and War Machine and stuff, but there's a lot of RP stuff happening there, too.
Yeah, there's board games and RPGs and stuff like that.
So we'll be at that. And if you guys want us to go to Kingdom Con, anyone who wants us to come to Kingdom Con, which is a big deal, I understand, let us know, and maybe we'll, like, I don't know, set up a GoFundMe page or just make it one of the Patreon goals or something. I don't want to keep milking our audience, but that is literally the only way we'll ever go to Gen Con.
I don't want to keep milking the audience, but your breasts are so tender.
I know. It's not our... you really should get a pump, you guys. But that's, I mean, short of, like, our uncle dying and leaving us a haunted house that we have to stay in for one night in Indianapolis during Gen Con, we're not going. We'd love to, but we don't have any money.
Oh, my God. How awesome would that be, though? Like, if someone was like, there's a haunted house, and if you can spend one night in there, you get $1 million from your uncle. The only catch is you have to be there with your worst enemy. That'd be awesome.
Wait, you're my worst enemy?
I mean, obviously, duh. Yeah. I mean, haven't you gotten all of my threatening letters?
We get along great. That must mean I'm pretty milquetoast if my worst enemy is a buddy.
Yeah.
My best friend is the same guy.
Oh, no.
I only have one person I know.
I live in a bubble. This is the only guy that visits me.
Oh. Okay, next question. And this is another one from someone who sent us a ton of questions. I'm going to try and pick a couple of good ones right now. So this
pick
is
the best one. If you don't pick the best one, I'll murder you.
Okay, let's see.
Oh, here it comes. Here it comes.
Okay, I'm going to go with number two.
Who would your number two?
Who would be your celebrity dream guest for a future episode of System Mastery? What game would you cover that episode? Well, here's the thing. There's only like five celebrities that have admitted to playing role-playing games.
Oh, yeah.
You got your Vin Diesel. You got your Stephen Colbert. You got Judi Dench, who got roped into playing D&D with Vin Diesel. And then you got some nerds like Brian Posehn.
Yeah.
And Patton Oswalt and so on have admitted to playing some D&D in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you got your Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, I mean, you could get Will Wheaton on
here. Oh, yeah, Will Wheaton, yeah. Although he's already got a show exactly like this, except that instead of acerbic and funny, it's hopeful and friendly. And instead of happening 2 years ago, it happened 1 year ago. Fuck you, Will Wheaton. We beat you to the punch.
Yep. So, celebrity dream guest.
Colbert, right?
I mean, probably.
Colbert's awesome. He's very funny. He's very knowledgeable about the things he enjoys.
I was going to say maybe The Rock,
but I'd probably
just sit there drooling the whole time.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, we have to crowd around one mic with The Rock, and I'm just going to try and get in his lap. I mean, not in a sexual way. I just want to sit in his lap and tell him what I want for Christmas.
I just want to feel those muscles around me, you know?
Yeah, he's going to bury myself and get lost in his arms.
No, but I think I would love to have Kevin Symbieta actually on the podcast and have us talk about Rifts.
I don't think that would go very well.
I think it would be a goddamn train wreck, but I would love it.
I think he would get up and leave in the first 2 minutes is the problem.
No, because this is a magical question that says we will have them as a celebrity guest, so by God, they will be here for an hour.
All right, that's fair enough. You can have Kevin Symbieta. I'm going to take Gary Gygax. Current, no time machine rules.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just going to prop Gary Gygax's dead body up, shove my hand up his throat, and just go, "I'm Gary Gygax. I love 4th edition. It's the true successor.
My first mistake was coming up with stats."
You know, my least favorite word in the English language is verisimilitude.
It's funny because that's like half true. Like, if you ever read his writing, he wrote... about half his articles were about how verisimilitude is the most important thing ever, and the other half is how fun is the most important thing you could do, and ignore the verisimilitude when it gets in your way. It's perfect. He's like the worst conflicted god character for people who love D&D or games to follow, because none of his shit makes sense. Like, his collected writings are the Bible of Gary Gygax. It's amazing. So there you go. We have four more questions from you, AmiYumi. We'll get to them.
Yay.
Coming up later. Okay, last question. And here we go. This one's from Hyper Crab Tank. It's another one on the show. He says, "So, I thought of a question for Afterthought, except the problem is I can't remember if you've already covered this or not. Don't worry, we wouldn't be able to either. If you have an I'm an idiot with a memory span shorter than a few weeks, ignore me and all things coming out of my mouth hole. Done? Anyway, point is this. I found that for me, the itch that used to be scratched by romping through dungeons, slaying hobgoblins, and taking all their loot in D&D, or similarly olden schoolin' RPGs..." Olden Schoolin'.
Oh, Olden Schoolin'.
Oh, that is that the, I think that's the German company that makes Pop and Lock and Cock and Blockin', right?
Yeah, no, that was when they made a new version of it that was all retro
art. Oh, yeah,
it was the Olden Schoolin' Pop and Lock and Cock and Blockin'.
Yeah, sold on Kickstarter. That's right. Yeah. It was like all made out of barn wood. For an extra $30, you got extra cock block tokens.
Yay.
Okay, so I'm sorry, right in the middle there. Olden Schoolin' RPGs is now increasingly sated instead by board games, replicating the same experience with simplified rules, cards, and pretty miniatures. Like Descent. Okay, like, yeah, Descent, or those D&D, like, Wrath of Ashcardalon games, I'm guessing. Or just fantasy-styled board games in general. It's just easier to get people together, easier to play, less of a commitment, and so forth. Now, it's not a replacement for a story campaign or nothing, but that's a different itch to be scratched in a more traditional way. Now, I don't know if the pair of you even play board games much at all, or what. Maybe this might be out of your territory, but it feels like a topic that might have a word or two to be said about it, so I thought I'd put it out there. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about John and how he orders and lives his life. John's trunk is all board games.
It's true. It is a mobile game store in my car.
I like to think that when John leaves my house, which rarely, but when John leaves my house, he goes to, like, local high schools, and he parks out front, and he, like, puts on a creepy hat, and he listens to, like, NSYNC music that's just slightly too out of date for the kids of today. But then he leans out his window to, like, passing kids, and he goes, "Hey, hey, you like McDonald's? Hey, hey, you want a little taste of Catan? The first card's free."
Oh, yeah. No, I get them hooked on Catan first.
That's a gateway board game.
Yeah, that's the gateway. And then you get them moving on up. You get just slowly at first. You know, you get some Carcassonne in there. You get some Dominion. And then they get hooked. And they need it stronger and better. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get you. I'll get you what you need. I got that German shit, man.
I got that German shit.
But you want some Power Grid? Yeah, I got that.
I gotta hit you hooked on Agricola. Baby, that's the real high. So John literally is a mobile board game ice cream truck. Like, creepy music, too old of a car.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he is. Kids running around behind him saying, "Sir, sir, stop so we can play Betrayal at the House on Haunted Hill." So he plays a lot of board games. And you know what? I think I play a lot because of him. And,
yeah, mostly.
Yeah, I own a few, but ultimately I'm pretty picky about board games.
Yeah, no, I am the type of person that looks up reviews online, watches play videos of things.
Yeah.
I troll different online forums for board games.
There are games I like and games I don't. I have a big old hate for games that are too easy to armchair quarterback.
Well, any cooperative game that isn't a real-time game.
That's what I've loved. Real-time cooperative board games are amazing. XCOM, so good.
Yeah, because there's space alert.
It stops that whole thing where one player can go, "All right, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. Okay, go." And it's like, "Oh, I'm sure I'm glad I'm playing Follow Your Instructions, the game. Could we just play Simon Says or some shit?" But anyway, moving along. I agree I with the original question. Yes, a lot of the old school, like OD&D, go into a dungeon and draw the map while you go through and fight a goblin who has the same stats as every other goblin. That shit's perfect for a board game.
Yeah, because a lot of the time, if you divorce the mechanics from actual role-playing, then you end up with a few interesting ideas, and you can take those few nuggets from the mechanics and just build a game around that, and you don't have to worry about, okay, well, do I need to be in character while I'm trying to roll? Like, my character is super awesome at diplomacy, but I rolled a 1, so now I just fart in the king's face or something, I guess.
Yeah, ugh. I hate that. I hate when your low roll in a game belies the fact that your character is supposed to be at least baseline competent.
Yeah. So, you know, I love board games, and I think that fills a really good niche that a lot of gamers that would like to role play and do the RPG thing can use. We had mentioned a lot of the other ones. You had mentioned Descent. We had talked about, like, the D&D board game, yeah, stuff like that.
Castle Ravenloft, yeah.
Yeah, those are great for, I want to get some friends together. We're only going to have a couple hours to play, though. And you can just play a game or two. And maybe play a like a filler game in between. Play some Love Letter or whatever.
Smash 'em Up or Alchemist or Alchemy or whatever that is.
Yeah, so you can play a game that will take, you know, 10 minutes and then play a game that takes an hour and then get some food or do whatever.
Yeah, board game nights are great. So yeah, I fully agree. I think, especially if you have an old school nerdy itch, if you really want to play some OD&D or some GURPS or whatever, you can also get that same fun out of board games without as much of a commitment.
And it lets you change things up. Because if you're committed to a game, then you're playing just that one system every week for hours. Whereas if you get a bunch of board games together, you can play a bunch of different mechanics, you can play different styles, and that way, if you've got anyone that's just a hard time paying attention to one thing, you can switch it up.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. That's all the questions we have this week. I'll edit out the ones that we're going to be asking again next week, and we're still looking for more questions. Don't be daunted by the fact that we have so many. Be dauntless. Be without daunts, and send me many more questions.
Yes. Do it.
So send those to our Gmail account or ask us on Facebook or Twitter. If I missed your question, send it again, because I'm really bad at remembering to write down the Twitter ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem for me. So send them by email, because that way there's a record. They don't get lost in my tweets.
Lost in my tweets.
Well, there's so many tweets. Okay, so this has been the Afterthought Podcast. You got anything else you want to toss in there?
No. Play more games.
Play more games. Will Wheaton. Yeah. Yeah, play more games. Boycott Will Wheaton. Wait, no. Play more Wheaton. Contact Will Wheaton and tell him he needs to be our fantasy guest on our show.
Yeah.
Or we can be on his show. That'd be fine.
There you go. We can play a game on tabletop and then just not be good guests because no one will know who we are.
No one would know who we were because we don't look like our voices would indicate. For example, I'm a 10-year-old girl.
Obviously.
And John, is, as you would probably guess from listening to him, is a talking hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cartoon talking hot dog.
Yep. Just walking around. It's weird because a lot of people think that they're just really hungry.
Oh yeah, they're starving and they're hallucinating that you're a hot dog.
But no, I actually am a hot dog.
Well, that's how you started out, right? I mean, you're originally a human and then someone looked at you while starving on a life raft, imagined you as a hot dog and they died. Yeah, and you got
stuck
that way.
And then I never turned back.
Yeah, yeah, it was a gypsy curse.
You remember how your parents always told you not to make a face or it would stick that way?
Yeah.
I'm sort of like that, only the cartoon hot dog version.
Of course. So this has been the Afterthought Podcast. You can find us, as always, at SystemMasteryPodcast.com. We'll be back next week with another episode of that. Or at System Mastery on Twitter or Gmail or Facebook. Feel free to drop us a line via any of those channels if you have a question or a request, anything along those lines. Once again, we will have shirts going on sale starting today. That would be this Tuesday, the 19th. You can find those by going to the TeePublic website, which I believe is just teepublic.com, and just searching System Mastery there. I'll also include links to the specific shirts on this website, or this episode's webpage, plus on Facebook and Twitter and shit. What do I care? I'm a shill. Until such time as someone actually wants to advertise through us, this is my way of making some cash. All right?
All right.
Great. Thanks very much for listening. Keep those questions coming in, and have a lovely week.
Raffle, raffle.